Welcome to this here jungle. What's going on? A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently in Southern California. Great to be with you. Lots of show for you today, so let's not waste any time. Telephone number is wide open. Available in the U.S. and in Canada. It is toll-free. I will pay for it. 1-800-636-8686. Three interviews, as we typically do. First one's coming up in about 15 minutes. Run down my pal, Pierre McGuire, NHL and NBC analyst. We're talking NHL postseason. Pierre McGuire coming up in 15 minutes. Meantime, you should hit me right now. Lots to cover. NBA, NHL, betting, legalized. State to state, depending on each state, according to a Supreme Court ruling. We can get into that, too. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Still the fastest way, the easiest way, and the best way to get on the program. You can also hit me up on email, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Pierre McGuire is coming up next segment. Coming up in hour number two, a linebacker for the Arizona Cardinals, Deon Buchanan. Third hour. An NBA reporter for the New York Times, Mark Stein. So those three things coming up. Monday is an ATP day and a lot of other things I want to get to. Do not waste time. It is smack off season. Somebody take their shot. Get up in here. So today I think I'll start with the NBA. Eastern Conference Finals. Let me hit you up with a series of numbers. 18, 17, 19. 18, 17, 19. No, those are not my high school locker combinations or the numbers for my combination. They're the points that the Cleveland Cavaliers scored in the first, the second, and the fourth quarter of yesterday's game one in Boston. Here's another number for you. 25. That's how much they lost that series opener by. 25, and it felt like 50. Now, instead of giving you my assessment, why don't I just turn it over to Tristan Thompson? He had some comments for ESPN. For a quick moment, TT, my man, what happened yesterday? Quote, they punked us early and often, end quote. Fact is, truer words have never been spoken. Boston did punk Cleveland early and often and repeatedly and in about a dozen different ways. Now, I would never want to read too much into a first basket of a game or a series, but Jaylen Brown collecting the opening tip and then beating two Cavs to the bucket was not a good omen for the Cavaliers.
Al Horford wins the tap towards Jaylen Brown. He's going to immediately attack the basket, go to the left hand, and lay it in before anybody can get settled in.
That's pretty embarrassing. And you had to know when that game started like that, bad things were going to happen. Then there was Jaylen Brown to Al Horford.
Jaylen Brown attacks Horford, gets in the paint, floats it up for Horford. He puts it off the window and in, and the Celtics have scored 11 straight points to lead by 8.
Thanks to Celtics Radio for that one. Then you had Jaylen Brown going coast to coast.
Jaylen Brown attacks Hill, puts it off the glass and in.
Man, you're talking about building smacker, building the weight. Somebody give me a sandwich.
Timeout, Ty Lue, as the Celtics have...
Can I tell you something? That was all in the first quarter. That was all in the first quarter, a first quarter where Boston took a 21-point lead and ended the game before the end of that first quarter. So credit to the Celtics. Credit for being ready to play. But the Cavaliers did not even bother getting off the bus. They look nothing like the team that smoked Toronto around earlier. They look like a team that looked at the Celtics and they saw that there was no Kyrie. There was no Gordon Hayward. They remembered that LeBron was playing some of the best basketball of his career. And then the Cavaliers just collectively decided, no problem. But it was a real problem because the Celtics pretty much erased LeBron. None of his supporting cast did anything. None of them guarded anyone, and they ended up getting curb stomped. Going into yesterday, there were all these people making a lot of noise about how it was going to be a short series. And it might still be a short series, just not the one that everybody thought. Because the buzz was that Cleveland had been so impressive against Toronto, and that Boston was finally going to run out of all that magic. Because Boston's 108-83 win made one thing very clear. These Celtics are not the Raptors. These Celtics are for real. They dealt with the Greek Freak, They dealt with Joe and Ben, and in game one, they dealt with LeBron. Here are two other numbers, 15 and 7. Those are LeBron's points and LeBron's turnovers, respectively. The thinking had been that the Celtics would simply focus on Kevin Love, Kyle Korver, and J.R. Smith, then let LeBron get or do what he wants, but shut everybody else down, shut down the Cavaliers shooters. Instead, Boston just shut down everybody, including LeBron. So yes, the Celtics are young, and yes, they are inexperienced, but they've got crazy length, they've got incredible closeout ability, they act like they've been there before, even when they haven't, and most of all, they're obviously not intimidated by LeBron. Not only are they not afraid of LeBron, they want LeBron. Especially Marcus Morris, who was hyping himself up before that series, is one of the league's best LeBron stoppers. Then this guy goes out and he proves it. Sure, LeBron had been utterly transcendent in the first two rounds. I mean, it's no exaggeration to say this guy's played some of the best playoff basketball that we have ever seen. But it's no exaggeration to also say that yesterday was one of the worst playoff games he's ever played. 15 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds, 7 turnovers, and a plus-minus of minus 32. Now, I'm not saying that this is about LeBron losing, because it was about Boston winning and about Boston dominating at both ends. It was about Boston finding matchups that they would win and then killing Cleveland with them. No names mentioned, Kevin Love. Now, you know LeBron had a bad game. You know this guy had a bad game when his lone highlight from that game came after the game when he was asked about what happened at the start of the fourth quarter.
What happened? We ran him the first possession. We ran him down all the way to 2 on the shot clock. Marcus Morris missed a jump shot, followed it up. They got a dunk. We came back down. We ran a set for Jordan Clarkson, and he came off and missed it. They rebounded it. And we came back on the defensive end, and we got a stop. They took it out on the sideline. Jason Tatum took the ball out, threw it to Marcus Smart in the short corner. He made a 3. We come back down, missed another shot. And then Tatum came down and went 94 feet, did a Euro step, and made a right-hand layup timeout. There you go.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, but not at all surprising. Not when we know about LeBron's mental approach. Not when we know LeBron's insane basketball IQ. Except, again, that was the highlight of his night. Speaking of great basketball IQs, Brad Stevens, what did you think of that 25-point Game 1 beatdown and win over the greatest player of his generation?
We've got a lot of room to improve from tonight.
Celtics, they're absolutely relentless. And they will be the first ones to tell you that all they did was win one game. In their minds, it's not that special, not that significant. Yes, they completely shut down the Cavaliers, but they expected to completely shut down the Cavaliers. You might have thought that Cleveland was favored in this series, and in fact, they probably were, but Boston didn't see it that way. All they did was hold home court for a game. Brad Stevens and LeBron will both tell you that. They'll also tell you the series is not over after only one game. Everybody in the series knows that a 25-point loss counts as much as a 1-point loss. But, bottom line, for all of you who did not believe in the Celtics before, you better believe right now. Because even without 3 key guys, they are for real, and they just punk Cleveland early and often, all game long, and they can do it again, and they probably will.
Right, cornbread.
Somebody give me a sandwich.
I could use a sando too. Ham and Swiss, please. Take a little mayo. Eldrick is not totally back yet. 1-800-636-8686. Speaking of the cat, up and down weekend. Man, you honks had yourself a roller coaster ride, didn't you? You thought he was back. We will get into the Players' Championship. I want to talk about Eldrick and whether or not he's back, he's close, he's going to get there. All of that in a take coming up later on. Where are you? Why can I not get a good phone call on a Monday? We're coming off a weekend. And notice I didn't say, why can I not get a phone call? I can always get phone calls. Phone calls are not the issue. Why can I not get a good phone call? 1-800-636-8686. Also, in baseball, interesting weekend. Shohei Ohtani getting nice again. My thoughts on that? Bryce Harper. I had to retweet that bomb he hit last night. This guy's unbelievable. Nobody makes that sound. Or the ball coming off the bat does not make that sound. That sound for anybody else but Bryce Harper. That's coming up. I mentioned Pierre McGuire is coming up next segment, so you know I'm talking hockey. With him and without him. The Caps are looking awesome. That story a little bit later on. You know, it's been a long time. I hate to throw it back on a Monday. Hate to throw it back on a Monday, but there was an outstanding soccer riot. I mean, it's played. It's tired. If I didn't want to evolve or grow or change, I would just do the same takes over and over and over and over again, namely soccer. But the more things change, the more they stay exactly the same. And soccer is still not necessarily the world sport, but a reason to riot. How'd that for you, too? Before I take that first break, why don't we check Twitter for the first time on a Monday morning? It always sets the tone. I can't wait to see what you clones are into, what you're reacting to, what you want to talk about. First tweet of the week, at Corey Gales. Hey, LeBron, get Boston. We'll stop this playoff series. We'll stop it. Cut the crap. Hey, LeBron, get
stupid.
Boston will stop this playoff series. Cut the crap.
Cut the crap.
It's stupid.
This is stupid.
He got locked up. Locked up. No, it's not over. Yes, it's only one game. But if you didn't believe in Boston, you best now.
We will stop this tournament. This is stupid.
Get. It is.
Get.
Jay Edgel, 519. Dear Jim, I thought we were allowed to bet on sports. Yours, Pete Rose. Hey, Justin. Get.
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 You can't bet on sports, legally, in a couple of places. But it will be in a lot more places. Now listen, just as a side and aside, I would not be looking to get down on game one of the Western Conference Finals. That's not going to happen. However, some states will move quickly, and this will happen sooner than later. In the meantime, Justin, get!
Get!
At D-Rod, 2203 tweets, tonight, the real NBA Finals start. War man's game.
Man's game.
Is it the de facto NBA Finals? Pretty much. Pretty much. Rockets and Golden State. Everything. Daryl Morey has said this for the record. Literally everything Houston has done in the last couple of years has been with this series in mind. Has been with beating Golden State four times in seven games. Have they done enough? They have Chris Paul. They have Clint Capella. Have they done enough? It says here, right here, it says here, as long as Steph Curry is healthy and Steph's doing what he does and everybody around him have stepped up the way they have, Golden State's still the team to beat. Get! Yeah, that's putting myself out there pretty far, right? Let's see. Oh, that's nice. I tweeted this morning that the National Radio Hall of Fame nominations are out. And Vance Mack has been nominated again. However, what's different about it this time, and I'll get to this a little bit later on, it is a public vote in our category, in my category. It goes to a vote of listeners and the public. So while I'm not one to shill for votes, the fact of the matter is, this is how they determine my category. It's a public vote. Some of the tweets, at Mean Cop tweets, congrats on the Hall of Fame nomination. Can't believe you're not already in. Thank you, Joe, very much. I'm actually really humbled. And really honored to be a part of the process again. Just Kev tweets, how are you not already in the Hall of Fame? I'm just not. I'm not. Let's see. D-Chap 311. How are you not in already? I'm still not. I'm just not. Chase Martin tweets, please have Silk do your induction speech. Listen,
bruh.
This is a tough category, brah. There are some really, really accomplished people, really successful people, some unbelievable broadcasters in my category. So not only am I not in, it's going to be really tough to get in. That's where you clones come in. One email before, actually, I should go to break right about now. When we come back, Pierre McGuire joins us. We're talking hockey. And I am looking for good telephone calls. Pick me up now. Let's be honest about one thing to start this Monday. After a while, you may not play like you used to. But a couple of years go by, you put some wear and tear on your body, and well, things just do not work the way they used to work. Same thing might be said for your car. After a while, the time and the mileage do take their toll on your brakes. They go soft. They do not respond the way they should. That can be a real problem for you and others on the road. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break event. Take advantage of O'Reilly's Do It Right rebate. You'll get a $20 gift card by mail when you buy a set of Brake Best select pads and apparel rotors. Your brakes will be as good as new, and you'll save some real money on quality parts during the O'Reilly Spring Break event. There's not a lot of parts on your car more important than your brakes. So drive into your nearest O'Reilly Auto Parts and take advantage of this limited-time event. You'll be glad you stopped by. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Lots to get done. Let's not waste any time. Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Great to be with you on a Monday. We're talking hockey. Have to talk more hockey. I'm joined right now by an analyst for NBC, a scout and an assistant coach with the Penguins. He was part of the organization's back-to-back Stanley Cup wins. He also spent time with the Whalers and the Sens organizations, a Sports Emmy Award winner, a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame selection committee. We are joined right now by Pierre McGuire. Pierre, my friend, good morning. It is so good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, fantastic, Jim. Really nice to chat with you.
Always good to talk to you, Pierre. I look forward to it. Winnipeg goes into Nashville. They dominate the Preds in Game 7. Then, Pierre, Thursday night, they turn around. They beat Vegas on Saturday. So how impressed were you with the way that they went into Nashville, took care of their business then, and then showed up the way they did only 48 hours later?
Jim, they were so surgical in Game 7. I had the privilege of doing that game with Eddie Olczyk and Kenny Albert, and you could definitely tell that there was a domination factor from Winnipeg that clearly got into the heads of Nashville, and they took the crowd right out of it. Yeah, Pekka wasn't particularly good in goal for Nashville, but you could see the four-line balance, you could see the depth of their defense, and you could see that they had a lot of confidence in their goalie, Connor Hellebuck. The way they turned it around 48 hours later, that is such a magnificent point, Jim, and the reason why is, usually after a massive Game 7, there's an emotional letdown in hockey, a big letdown. There was no letdown. And I believe part of that, Jim, is what this team means to the city and what the fans mean to the team. This is as intimidating as any building in professional hockey right now when you come into Winnipeg. And the fans are so appropriate and they're so loud. And it really is intimidating.
We're talking to Pierre McGuire. So many good points in that, Pierre, that I want to unpack. And the Winnipeg story to me is just absolutely amazing. I mean, they score 65 seconds into the game. They had three goals in the first period. They had Vegas chasing all night long. So to you, was that just a matter of some rust for Vegas? And do you expect them to shake that? Or is it bigger than that?
No, I thought it was more about Vegas figuring out that we're in the Western Conference Final and these guys are playing for keeps. So there was an adjustment period for them. It was a little bit different than their series with Los Angeles, a little bit different than their series with San Jose. They were starting on the road. They were playing, I guess, a very aggressive opponent, and they were up against it because of the fans. They figured it out the last 40 minutes, I thought. They were a lot better. They weren't good enough because they fell behind, but they were a lot better. I expect this series is still going to get better for them as it goes along, but this is a very difficult place to play, Jim.
Pierre McGuire joining us. That barn is fierce. And then the Jets, Pierre, they missed the playoffs last season and the year before, and then they rack up 114 points in the regular season. Now they're up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. How do you explain a turnaround that's that dramatic?
Because they realized last year how terrible they were defensively as a group. And one of the things they really put a point of emphasis on in training camp and even the beginning part of the year, that they were going to improve themselves in their own zone. They were going to improve themselves in the neutral zone. They were going to sacrifice personal statistics for better team statistics. So you put that all together with some really good coaching from Paul Maurice and Charlie Huddy and Jamie Compan, and you've got some really good things going on. They established a starting goalie in Connor Hellebuck, who's a nominee for the Vezina Trophy, which is for the best goaltender in the league during the regular season. But, Jim, I think the biggest thing they've got two players here that might be the best tandem in the league right now, in Mark Scheifele, a center iceman, and Blake Wheeler, a kid out of Minnesota who went to the Breck School, 3 years at the University of Minnesota, was originally a first-round pick of the Arizona Coyotes, got traded around to Boston and then to Atlanta and made the move up here. He's an American captain playing in this marketplace. And, Jim, I got to tell you, that tandem with Scheifele and Wheeler, that's as good a tandem as we've had in the NHL in a very long time.
Strong, strong praise. Pierre McGuire, my guest. Pierre, go back to Connor Hellebuyck for a minute, because Paul Maurice has just been raving about him. Now, remember, Hellebuyck had a tough 2016-17, but Maurice feels like that, in fact, laid the groundwork for what he's done this year. What is the biggest difference that you see in Connor from last year to this year?
He's anchored, and he's square to the shooters, and he's a big body to begin with. But I think Wade Flaherty, the goalie coach here, has done a really good job in terms of getting him more square to the shooter, so pucks are hitting him. Last year, he looked small. He was turning sideways. He wasn't playing a robust style of goal. Now he's playing more square. He's digesting the plays a lot, I think, more efficiently, Jim, and that's really helped him a ton.
Pierre McGuire, my guest. Pierre, you mentioned this at the very top, but I want to repeat this. I mean, in Vegas and in Winnipeg, you've got two of the loudest arenas in the league. For those who have never experienced a Jets game at Bell MTS Place, how would you describe the atmosphere there?
I coached in the 1992 Stanley Cup Final, Pittsburgh versus Chicago in Old Chicago Stadium, and everybody, and I've been in the league almost 30 years now, Jim, everybody's told me that was always the loudest building in the league, Old Chicago Stadium. I would say the noise level the other night in Winnipeg, and remember, it only holds almost 16,000 people, a little shy of that. The old stadium was almost 24,000. It's as loud. And that's, I say that with all due respect to the Chicago fan base and to that great old building in Chicago at the stadium. It's as loud as that. And the reason why I believe it, Jim, the roof is lower here. The people are on top of you, and they come ready to rock and roll. They really do, Jim. It's as loud as any building I've been in since 1992.
Pierre McGuire joins us for a few more moments. So before the season, no NHL team in Winnipeg had ever advanced beyond the second round. Pierre, I understand there's a lot of hockey left, but can you imagine what it would be like if this Jets team won the Stanley Cup?
No, I can't, because these people are just so passionate. They're so dying for a championship team. Now, they've had some success in the CFL with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but hockey's their thing here, and it's a big thing here. And they've produced massive amounts of players that have gone on and won cups in other places, like Jonathan Taves going down to Chicago. He's from Winnipeg, Manitoba. I mean, they've developed a ton of players here that are lesser players, but they go other places to play, and they eventually win cups those places. I can't even imagine what a parade would be like down Portage in Maine, which is the two main thoroughfares here in Winnipeg. My goodness gracious, Jim, it would be must-see TV. I would tell you that right now.
It'd be insane. It really would be insane. Pierre McGuire, my guest. Before I let you go, Pierre, how about a quick thought or two about the Eastern Conference? You've got the Capitals up 2-0 on Tampa Bay. You were there when the Caps beat the Penguins in overtime in Pittsburgh in Game 6. Let me get your thoughts first. How big was that win for Washington?
It was massive, and full credit to Barry Trotz, Todd Reardon, Blaine Forsythe, Lane Lambert, the coaching staff. They implemented a brilliant Game 6 game plan because they didn't have Nicky Backstrom and they didn't have Tom Wilson, two major components on their team. I thought it was really, really well done by the coaching staff there, and the players bought in, and Alexander Ovechkin was able to exercise the demons that he couldn't beat Crosby. Well, he proved he can beat Crosby. He was a major reason why. But the thing that's allowed Washington to thrive this playoff season, two players. Evgeny Kuznetsov has elevated his game beyond belief, and Lars Eller has elevated his game beyond belief. So Eller allows him to overcome the loss of Backstrom, and the chemistry with Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Wilson, boy, Jim, it's been awesome to watch. And I think everybody in hockey is shocked by what's happened in this round with the 2-0 lead for Washington going down to Tampa and beating a very good Tampa team in the first two games.
So finally then, if you're John Cooper and you're Tampa Bay, Pierre, what are you thinking right now, and what kind of changes are you trying to make before Game 3?
You got to make sure you play a really solid road game. You can't fall behind in the first minute of a game like they did, you know, early on in both games in this series. But I think the biggest thing to me is they're going to have to play a structured matchup game. They're going to have to find a way to take Kuznetsov and Ovechkin and Wilson out of the game. They can't retaliate in terms of the physical play. That's not how they're built. They've got one line that's an extremely physical line with Chris Kunitz, Ryan Callahan, Cedric Paquette. Turn those guys loose physically. But the other guys have to play their slick speed skill game. they're trying to get involved in all the hitting, and it's not the way they're built to play. They have one line that can do that. The other guy's got to go out and play. But I would have a very structured game plan going into game number three if I were Tampa.
No better way to start a Monday than to talk some hockey, and no better person to talk it with than Pierre McGuire, an NBC hockey analyst. Pierre, so good to have you back. Have a great day, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Anytime for you, Jim. It's been a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And thanks so much for caring about hockey. It really matters when you're a voice. Thanks so much, Jim.
You know it, Pierre. You're the best. Thanks so much. Pierre McGuire, I do care about hockey. I love hockey. And I love postseason hockey. And if Winnipeg were to do this thing, it would be unbelievable. Again, they'd never advance beyond the second round. 1-800-636-8686.
I love when you talk hockey.
Right? I am here to talk hockey. Listen, if you don't want to talk hockey, that's fine. Get yourself on the air. Get yourself on the phone. Find a different topic. Come in strong. I'll talk about literally anything you want as long as it's a strong take. So thanks to Pierre McGuire. We're open for the next hour. Dayon Buchanan joins me next hour. Top of hour number three, Mark Stein joins us to talk some basketball. Still ahead, some baseball, some golf. Is Eldrick back or not? Can I give away a golden ticket? Would somebody rip one today? It'd be the best way to start this week. By talking hockey and doling out.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
One of my favorite times of the week, time to ask the pros. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question there. I will answer one or more later on. In the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So the obvious question, how long before you can get down? How long before you can gamble legally on sports? And, of course, the answer is depends on your state. Depends how aggressively your state pursues legislation. In some cases, definitely sooner than later. This email relates to that. Rome, considering how willing clones are to punch out of their weight class on things such as obesity, education, and looks, I can't wait to hear all the jungle experts chime in today on things such as constitutional law, interstate commerce, and gambling. Tony in Albuquerque, War Kyle, at mile marker 328, hitching a ride back to Green Bay by thumbing it out on the side of the road and pulling his shirt down to show his man boob cleavage. Is that how you get a ride back? I have no idea how his weekend went or whether or not he made it back home or even made it to Arizona. I'm not sure about Kyle. Do you have an update? Adam, put him on. Bring me up to date. Our boy Kyle in Green Bay. At last check, he was still sleeping in his car. His hotel room on wheels. He had engine problems. He was overheating. He had to find a way to get to Arizona en route to Green Bay. Do you know what happened to him this weekend?
Yes, I do. He's still stuck in San Diego. The car is not repaired. He will be here in San Diego until the end of the afternoon today.
The end of the year?
Yeah, he texted me on Saturday, quote, stuck in San Diego till Monday afternoon.
If he's got no money to make it home, how is he paying for whatever repair he needs on that car?
He thinks insurance is going to cover it. I don't think that's how insurance works. I think dealerships cover powertrain stuff. I think insurance covers accidents. I don't know what he's in for when that bill comes his way this afternoon.
Can you imagine Kyle just going to some gas station somewhere or some mechanic, and the mechanic telling him, yeah, here's what you're looking at, kid. Yeah, it's great. Just call my insurance company. They'll handle it.
He just heard you talking about him. He just texted 1 second ago. Car parts are in, should be heading home in a few hours.
If that guy's not at an O'Reilly Auto Parts, he's got nothing coming to him, all right? There you go. On the road. Thanks for the update. Kyle, you can do this, kid. Good luck. Just do not count on insurance, quote unquote, insurance to cover it. And one more email. Dear Jim, what happened? My son had possession of the roses. Ran down the hall with 20 seconds left on the alarm clock. He missed the vase, but my daughter followed up, and they got a dunk. My boy turned up a Kelly Crawford. I mean, a Kelly Clarkson song. then ran 94 feet and did a Eurostep to lay up breakfast on the bed as the alarm buzzer went off and time was out. There you go. Photographic, memorably yours, Lesk Braun, recalling our Mother's Day surprise with uncanny accuracy.
There you go.
Wore Alvin's kids honoring their mother yesterday by forming a human chain from L.A. to New York City and singing, "We are the world, we are your children."
Dude, no.
He's got a lot of kids. Alvin's got a lot of kids. All right, so I mentioned open phones. Let's take advantage of it. We go to Edmonton. Tyler in Edmonton. Tyler, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, how was your weekend, buddy?
Good. Tyler, how about you?
It's good, man. Everything's good up here. Real quick, I want to shout out to Alvy, the Hall of Fame clip from the Cat yesterday, talking about how good he played. An all-timer, man. You got to check it out. Romy, I know you probably don't want to hear it today, but Tiger looks great. His swing feels great, and I like his chances. You know, dude, it wasn't that long ago when all the fat asses with a pulse and a mic were writing off the Caps and they were down 2-0 to the Blue Jackets. The same lovish viewers that wrote them off when Pittsburgh rolled into town, or the same guys that wrote them off when Wilson got suspended, or how about when Backstrom busted his hand? And ironically, it's the same people from a year ago who were claiming that the Capitals were no longer Ovi's team, but Backstrom's team. Crosby, honk, hot take idiots at their finest. The Caps are finally getting over some adversity, and it's because Ovechkin's supporting cast is finally pulling their weight. And as a result, I think if the Capitals win Game 3, it's probably going to be done 4-5. If the Lightning win Game 3, I could see it going 6 or 7. And lastly, to some people who aren't pulling their weight, besides our guy Rick, the golden ticket department has been a little shy as of late. What's the matter, guys? You scared of the choppa? Caleb even put one on a tee for you guys when he came in and called you out. He's the easiest guy to fire back on. Make some jokes about Diet Coke and you're good. You guys need to lighten up. So if you need to, feel free to come in and make fun of me for my flannel, maple syrup, or my near-perfect physique. And I'm sure Rome will give you a pass. Give the people what they want. Bring out the choppa. Thanks again, Romy. I'm out.
You got it, Ty. Tyler in Edmonton, rack him. I'd give him a golden ticket, but he's already got one. He's already got one, and I don't know about you. You Americans, my fellow Americans, might not find it very amusing, but every time that kid comes in and calls you fat, that makes me laugh. And he's calling all of us fat.
Fat.
Tyler and Matt, they're amazing physiques. They're 3% body fat. They're extreme discipline and focus and regimentation. And we're also fat and soft. He already has a golden ticket. And like I said, the only thing better than giving up a golden ticket is ripping somebody's back. But he's coming in. He's got nothing to be afraid of. Not yet. Now, this guy, you know this guy. This guy, the good and the bad. The good is he calls pretty frequently. He's a high-volume shooter. That's good. I respect that. The bad news is he can't seem to figure out who and what he wants to be. I want to give the guy a golden ticket, but he just won't let me. So, do you want to get racked or do you want to get run, Rex? Do you even know yet, Rex? Let's find out. To Albuquerque, Rex in the ABQ. Hey, Rex, what's going on? How are you?
I'm great, Jimmy. I know who I don't want to be, and that's Tyler in Edmonton. I'm not sure how he found the time to make that call, because I'm pretty sure this is the time of the day where he goes in for his low tee shot and his checks waxes with Matt and Van. But anyway, Taunt Nation, you thought Tiger was back? Get. First, there's no way old dominant Tiger misses one, rinses one on 17 while in contention. It just never happened. He's lost his edge. Two, to play good, you've got to look good. And I'm seeing some disturbing bald spots developing on Eldrick's dome. Now, I don't know what type of hair system Tiger is using, and frankly, I don't want to know. What I do know is it's time to sprinkle some more chia seeds up in there and just add water, and he'll be ready to go by the U.S. Open. I'm out.
So what do I do with that guy? Thanks, Rex. Thanks for nothing. Do I rack him or not? He didn't get run. What the hell? Go ahead. I'll be racking. Rex in the ABQ. See, now there's this gray area. I mean, was that a good call or a bad call? He did what he's not supposed to do. He referenced somebody's appearance. That was a big part of that take. Rex in Albuquerque, still without a golden ticket. Does he want to be in the smack off or not? I'm not even sure. In terms of the Players' Championship, let me just go ahead and do something really insane right here. Let me just set the world on fire and sit back and watch it burn. Let me put three decades of legacy on the line and say something that nobody else is going to say, something that nobody else is willing to say. Let me be the first. Let me be the first person in the entire world to congratulate Webb Simpson on winning the Players' Championship yesterday.
This now for a closing six to shoot 73 and get it in at 18 under. Right in the center, Webb Simpson is our 2018 Players' Championship champion.
I got you, Webb. I got you. And the reason I got you is that is courtesy of PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM or free at PGATour.com and on the Tour's apps. They are my brothers in space. I got you, Webb, even if nobody else does. Because while everybody else was drunk or hypnotized or stroking out over a T11 finish way down the board, I'm more into that wire-to-wire wax job that you just put on the entire field. I am more into that four-stroke runaway victory that you just engineered. I am more into that course record tying 63 that you fired on Friday, and I am more into that $2 million novelty cardboard check that you just ripped. Can't wait till you try and slam that thing into an ATM machine or try and cash that. I'd be walking around with that thing everywhere. I'd be spinning it around like those guys on the street corners that try to get you to look at the new home development, that $2 million check. I'd be throwing that thing in the air around my back, be rocking my headphones. I'd be out there for hours on the busiest street corner that I could find in L.A. Put simply, what I'm getting at, I'm into winning. I'm more into winning than Eldrick and that T11. The T11 can wait because Webb Simpson is the one who deserves top billing in whatever players conversation that anybody is having today. Dude just ran away and hid with an impossible tournament to run away and hide with. He made Sawgrass look like a damn pitch and putt from Thursday to Sunday. Tee to green. No one was on this guy's level. And NBC really had no reason to show anybody else's shots all weekend except for the fact that they had to fill with something. And if you were waiting and rooting for an all-time gag job yesterday when he got to the yard with the largest 54-hole lead in that tournament's history, then you were rooting and waiting on the wrong guy. My man's got some U.S. Open hardware from 2012. That says in and of itself that he knows how to finish, which is why a pack of the world's best bat swingers could not get closer than four strokes all day long, which brings me to Eldrick. Because the cat dropped the cinder block on the gas pedal as soon as Hefty and his horrible dress shirts got the hell off the property Friday. Weekday Eldrick went weekend Tiger. And weekday Eldrick went from the cut line on the number Friday to a tie for second, 12 holes in on Sunday. Now take nothing away from the dude. He flipped a switch on the weekend. Sort of. Kind of. I mean, on paper, he was 10 under Saturday and Sunday. In reality, and on that track, he was a dude that could not finish on the back nine either day. I guess I really am agreeing with Rex in Albuquerque. The guy couldn't finish on the back nine either day. Saturday, he went out at 30, came in five shots worse at 35. Yes, there is something to be said that his best ever round at the Players just happened in 2018. That is something. But there's also something more to be said about a guy who made a name closing but can't seem to do it. Yesterday, more of the same. Cap played the first 12 holes at 6 under. Then he gave three back down the stretch, including this rinse job, double at 17.
And now that powerful swing lost it skyward. Crowd anticipating this being close, and it's short and in the water. Tiger comes up short, looks over at Joe LaCava.
PGA Tour Audio. Thank you very much. I want to start that thought Now we'll come back and finish that thought. Deion Buchanan next hour. Cell phone call is coming up next hour and more. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.